Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Now, all the y'all know that all the Old Testament was a primary school for the children of God. Look at Galatians for just a minute, chapter 4. Galatians 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Now the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ. Until Christ came and made that one propitiatory sacrifice that perfectly cleansed all the children of God from all iniquity, from all their sin, and made them holy in himself. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So all the Old Testament types and shadows, the blood of the lambs, all the lambs of the morning and evening sacrifices, all of the bullocks that were slain, all the sheep and goats and everything under the Old Testament, that in the shedding of blood were all pictures and types of our Lord Jesus Christ. In trespass offerings, sin offerings, peace offerings, burnt offerings, all of those things showed different aspects of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The burnt offering showed the perfect acceptance or the perfect sacrifice of the Lord in giving himself up wholly unto God. And it shows God, the Father's, perfect acceptance of him in that the whole burnt offering went up in smoke and vapor. All of those things were types and shadows of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the peace offering, Aaron and his sons got the wave breast and the heave shoulder. Aaron and his sons were types of the people of the church who are a holy nation of priests. And they feasted upon the wave breast, and we feast upon the affections or the wave breast that is typifies the love of our Lord Jesus Christ toward us, his concern in us, his inheritance in us, and also upon the heave shoulder. That shows that we lean upon his strength and we don't count upon anything of our own strength for our deliverance. And we rest primarily and will only in his shed blood. And all of those types and sacrifices and ceremonies and the wide extent of how many they were and how intricate they were all different aspects of the coming and sacrifice and finished work of the God-man. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 9. And we were going to begin this morning in verse 10. He says, all of those things which stood, all of those ceremonies and sacrifices and so on, stood only in meats and drinks and in divers washings and in carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Now that was from the time when the people of God were delivered from the law unto and put under the New Testament, the blood of the New Testament. It was a time of Reformation. It was a time of change from when the law was abolished as a means of approach unto God or as a law of works, and we were brought under the New Testament in the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, those things were ushered in by him, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, that's his body, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now the holy place wherein he entered is in the heaven itself, and he now ministers in the sanctuary above, in the very presence of God. He is there in him, in the presence of God, presenting himself for us. And his manner of representing us is presenting himself. That's how he represents us. He is our head. We're the body. He's the head. We are at union with him. He presents himself in the presence of God for us. And in that, all that is needed to be said for us is said in the presence of Christ. Because we are in him. And he has obtained for us, not temporary, not a redemption that is dependent upon us in any way, but eternal redemption. It is eternal. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. In other words, the sprinkling of the waters of separation removed the defilement from that person so that they were able to approach unto God in holy worship. If the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean accomplish that, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, it is not the blood of goats and calves or the blood of others that Christ took into the presence of God, but it was his own blood. It was God's blood. Acts 20:28. Let me just turn there and read that for you. Acts 20:28 says, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he, that is God, in the person of Jesus Christ, hath purchased with his own blood. Now, so Christ offered, came here, he took upon himself, he took into union with his divine person with his Godhead, a human body and nature, a human body and soul. In order that he could die in that body and soul and shed his blood for the remission to put away the sin of his people. Now it took an absolutely efficacious sacrifice to put away sin. And it took God's blood. It took the blood of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to wipe away and to make propitiation for our sins, to make the law of God and God himself propitious toward us, to remove any enmity, any strife, or any ill feeling toward us. That is pictured in the peace offering. When the priests sat down to eat, and the altar of God had its portion representing the food of the altar or the food of God. And the picture there is that God and the priesthood feast together on the same object, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we feed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood lives by him. God has his portion in that as we have. And that's pictured also in the prodigal son. When he returned, the father immediately said, put on him the best robe. Give him the best robe. Kill the fatted calf. Let us eat and be merry. So the father and the prodigal both feasted on the same food, on the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they fellowshiped together based on the finished work or and person of our Lord Jesus Christ. John said that our fellowship indeed is with the Father and with his Son. When we are enabled to feast on Christ in holy worship, we are partaking in fellowship with the Father and the Son in feasting upon the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Upon the accomplishment of his blood. Now, to make salvation dependent on anything other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the blood of Christ, we mean his sacrifice of himself. His giving up of himself as a sacrifice unto God. He said, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. I set myself apart to be a sacrifice unto God for them, for their sake. So he dedicated himself unto death and the bloody and cruel death of the cross to shed his blood that it might be the blood of the New Testament. As he said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That was the purpose that he came into this world for. And anything that is preached or taught that sets the blood remotely aside and makes something else effectual in bringing salvation is absolutely error. For instance, if the will of man, if his choice makes the difference, it's not no longer the blood of Christ. if the Lord's Supper. If they say, well, you can be saved by just come and take the sacraments. And that'll get, no. Our dependence, our reliance, our whole view of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ is a view of His blood. Mm-hmm. We're justified by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. We receive that justification. It becomes valuable to us, and we are able to rest in that justification through faith. But it's by the blood itself that we're just, by His bloody death, by His one sacrifice unto God. Amen. He sanctified Himself. He said He dedicated Himself unto death. John 17, I think it's around verse 11. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, His own eternal Spirit, His own eternal Spirit, His Godhead, the fact that He is God, Romans 9:5, makes His oblation, His sacrifice, absolutely, perfectly effectual to all the purposes that the three persons of the deity intended that it should accomplish. Who sacrificed Himself? The Son of God. By His own eternal Spirit. And also by the Holy Ghost, by that eternal Spirit. And it was He did all that He did. You know, it took a great deal of strength to dedicate Himself to God and to go through all of the agonies, all the insults, all the injustices of the crucifixion that He endured, and be as a lamb brought to the slaughter. He didn't go kicking and screaming and saying, this is unfair and unjust. He gave Himself up to the will of God. And He acknowledged that it was right in God for Him to be nailed on that cross, because He was the surety of the New Testament. Yeah. Yeah. He'd taken that office from eternity past, and He looked forward to the day when He'd get to fulfill that office and do the will of His Father and wash His children perfectly clean from every sin by His blood. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Now, He got the job done. There ain't no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes about it. He accomplished all that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit intended in the death of Jesus Christ was accomplished when He bowed His head and said, "It is finished."
Amen.
He saved His people from their sins. That happened actually at Calvary. But it happened virtually in old eternity. He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before sin was brought, before Adam was created, the people of God were already in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the mind and reckoning of God, it was done. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now we have to be cleansed as they cleansed the flesh of those persons and under the Old Testament and made them ceremonially clean and made them so that they could come and approach God in holy worship. So our consciences must be cleansed from all defilement as we pass through this world. And that is pictured in the Lord saying, he that is washed, he's every whit clean, he's washed, but he needeth not but to wash his feet. Yeah. Our feet become defiled as we walk through this world. And the defilements are thoughts, words, deeds that we think, say, or do as we pass through this world that are not according to what we should do as the people of God. If you're like me, you climb up the myth tree every now and then. You get miffed and you climb up in the tree and pooch out your lips and say, it's their fault. Or some such thing. And you stay up there, you stay up the myth tree until the Lord comes along and gives you another mind. But such things as that, maybe you utter a word against a neighbor, or whatever it is. You say, do you kill my dog, I'm going to kill your cat. Things like that. Our conscience becomes defiled. And with defilement comes an evil conscience. And with an evil conscience comes fear. Yes. And in the manner of speaking, there is a wedge. Our fellowship with the Father is removed temporarily. And we have a problem with worship. We're afraid to approach. So what has to happen? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin. For it is the blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin. Look at 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. Let's begin reading verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, that is with the apostles. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That we could have fellowship with God the Father and with his Son. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, if we remain out of, in a place of defilement of our conscience and out of fellowship, our worship is hindered. Our prayers are hindered. If we walk in the light, that is in the precepts of the gospel, if we walk in the gospel, if we walk believing, trusting, resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and asking His forgiveness to remove a defiled conscience. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth from all sin. Now notice that it says cleanseth, a continual cleansing. We're continually cleansed. But when we do something where our conscience becomes defiled, we need to confess our sins.
Yeah.
He says, if you say that we have no sin, if we say that we have no sin principle within us, no sin nature within us, we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, our individual sins, when the sin nature that is within us breaks out into deeds of actual sins, when original sin breaks out into deeds of actual sins, then if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His truth is not in us. Now that's a horrible sin of unbelief. You account God as a bearer of false witness, a liar. And God despises that. He despises that. People run around out here as if they have not a worry in this world, going right on, paying no attention to the gospel of God, to the blood of the everlasting covenant, to the purpose and commands of God, like there is no judgment, no grave, no everlasting burnings, no hell fire, or into a very abrupt shock someday when it's presented before their face. And I'm sure that you know people like that as well as myself. All right. How much more shall the blood of Christ, I'm back in Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Remove that temporary enmity that's in your heart, not in His. It's your heart that's affected. There's never a time when God doesn't love His children and look at them through the blood of Christ. But our heart's affected. We know when we realize in our own minds that we've sinned, that creates a distance and it hinders us. God isn't affected, we are. And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, sin requires death, Christ paid that death for all His people at Calvary, for the remission of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. Now, our sins against the law of God, but not only that, but also the sins of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Noah, and all of the Old Testament saints. They were all put away by the same blood that put my sins away. They were all justified by the same blood. Look at Romans 3:25. Romans 3:25. Verse 23 through 25. For all have sinned we've all broke God's law. We've either come short of all that he demanded, or we've overstepped the law one way or the other. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All have sinned, we're all guilty. But all who believe are justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for the Jewish family only, but also for the people of God that are scattered abroad. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a propitiation through faith in his blood. God has set him forth by prophet, promise, by covenant, and finally in bringing him into this world, and he set him forth on the cross, in the grave, and now he's seated at the right hand of God. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins of the Old Testament. Sins that are past. Not only that, but also our past, present, and future sins that we will commit because we're sinners. They're all under that blood. Through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, the righteousness of God, that he might be just when he justifies him that believeth, or is joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the blood of Christ that purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, because he undertook to justify all the people of God by his shed blood, being the mediator, surety, great high priest, prophet, and king of his people. He stood in office for us. For this cause, he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now the call... begins with conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit comes into our heart and points his long finger of judgment at us and finds us condemned, even in our own conscience, before we're brought to the knowledge of the truth. And we walk under that guilt and that condemnation, thinking that, today may be my last day. I'll have to go out and face God unprepared. Or wondering whether or not I know God. Wondering whether or not I'm saved. But when God saves you, he'll make you know it. You will know it. And you won't have to go down the road and ask your neighbor or anybody else. Your conscience will be satisfied. But everything is clear between you and God for Christ's sake. Let me move on here. That they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, whom God has chosen, he calls. And whom he calls, he gives the eternal inheritance. That's the reason he called them, was for that. And for where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is no force at all while the testator liveth. So, as a will that is executed, has to be executed after the death of the testator. But before his death, it's just a document laying in a drawer somewhere, in a safe. Doesn't make any changes, but after its execution, then it bequeaths all his goods. And the thing is, Christ gives away all his goods to every person and they're never diminished. He gives his children eternal life, everlasting justification, unalterable justification, perfection in the sight of God, sanctification, all those things. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and with scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." And our Lord Jesus Christ said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." It is the blood that is enjoined unto the people of God, and whereby they have inheritance with saints. There's no way that that Satan, all the devils in hell and all the wicked men on earth and every force of evil that there is can go back and undo the transaction that occurred at Calvary. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ shed the blood of the everlasting covenant, and it seals all those who have interest in that covenant unto eternal life. It is a transaction that happened that concerned the children of God, but it is outside of themselves. They had no input in it. They didn't say, "Here I am, Lord, choose me." God chose before the foundation of the world. And his choice brings fruit in the heart of men in revealing the worth of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.